Monsters on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
The story I'm going to tell you tonight is not, in the strict sense, one of safari. One can't always be in the realm of big game. And sometimes I think it's good to come home, to rest one's weary feet from that last long trek into the bush. So tonight, it is of a domestic animal that I'm going to tell you. Man's best friend. Yes, the dog. But in this instance, one of the central characters wasn't a man. He was a boy of 10 years old. A young boy who lived with his parents on a farm out on the veld near Cape Town. It was during the years that followed the First World War that Stuart Clutie, the world-famous author, was searching for material far away from our great cities. He was looking for true stories that typify this vast country we live in. Stories that are so often never told, never heard of, yet simple, humble stories. I'm most grateful to him for allowing me to base this tale tonight on facts that were given to him by an old Boer farmer. Here it is, then. One I have called A Boy and His Dog.
Ask me if I have any stories. Yeah, I have many. Many that I can tell you of the days gone by. But now I'm getting old. I don't remember so well. I remember one story. The story of a boy. He didn't live so far from here. He was only 10. He lived with his parents, Jan and Mari Swartz. Fine couple they were. They're dead now. So is Jaapie. He was the boy who was killed in the last war. How I hate wars. They do no good for anybody. Jaapie's dead now. Died in the desert. I wonder if he was lonely. Somehow, I don't think so. He'd learned that time, nearly 25 years ago, what it meant to be lonely. Yeah, he was a brave boy. I think it was in 1930. Perhaps it was 31. I don't remember so well. I walked over from this very farm here to the Swartz's place, about 6 miles away. As I came over the hill above their farm, I noticed a big black motor car standing in the yard.
I'm old enough, Ma.
Of course he's old enough.
He's only 10, Jan.
And I'm not afraid.
That's just it. It makes me afraid that you are not afraid, that you are afraid of nothing.
It's his blood. He has bold blood from both sides.
Yeah, Jan. And look where our boldness has got us. Because of it, you lie crippled on a bed in the kitchen, waiting for a doctor to take you away to Karpst.
I shall get well. The doctor has promised it. Besides, how could I refuse to ride the horse? If there'd be no rain, he wouldn't have slipped and fallen on me.
I have Moscow. He's a fine dog and he's my friend. And I have the gun.
The car's ready, Jan.
I never heard it come.
It's a new one. It moves very quietly.
We'll come just now, Doctor.
Oh, hello, Doctor. Is there any trouble?
Oh, hello, Hermann. Yes, you could give me a hand with Jan. Come out of the car. I'll tell you all about it.
You have the gun, Jaapie?
Yeah, Pa. I have the gun.
It's old, but it shoots well. And you have the dog?
Yeah, Pa.
And your blood. The blood that shows no fear.
Ah, oh, that darned blood that has been the death of so many.
And the glory. The blood of the Swartz and the De Wets. A good cross. Yeah. A good mixture like Moscow.
Well, Jan, you're a fine one.
If you're ready, we'll take you now, man.
Yeah, I'm ready. Now, go easy with me. It's my side.
We'll be careful, Jan. We'll
hurts.
Be careful. You take his head, Doctor. I've got his feet.
They say they're going to have to operate.
Oh, forget it, man. You'll soon be as fit as a fiddle and back on your farm. Now, up you come. That's all right.
Bring some cushions and blankets.
Steady on.
Fetch them, Yarpie. No.
There we are. We'll soon have you in your car, Jan. Now then, carefully through the door. That's it. There we are.
Prop yourself in this corner, Jan.
Thank you, Doctor. Whew. That was quite an effort.
Here comes Yarpie with the cushions and blankets.
Here, Pa.
Thank you, son.
Let's put them round you, Jan.
Let me tuck them in this side, Jan.
Anybody would think I was a hothouse plant.
You've got to keep warm and comfortable. We don't want anything happening to you on the way. That'd never do.
You mean you'd have nothing to cut out if I did?
Ah, Jan, you mustn't talk like that.
Get in, mevrouw.
Tot ziens, Ma. Come back soon. Tot ziens, Yarpie.
Do not fear for me. I cannot die. I can only be killed. It's not reasonable to think that I shall be the first of my race to die in bed like a woman. Nay, when I go to the good God, I shall go like a man in my falschooner.
It's time that you Swats learned other ways to die. Doctor, I did not mean that.
That's quite all right.
You're a self-willed man, Jan Swats. I expect you'll die as you want.
Fear nothing, Yarpie. When I was a small son, I too was left alone on a farm, and I held it safe. Why, when I was your age, I'd killed two lion. And your opa, my father, he was in the Kaffir wars when he was only a year older than you. Fear nothing, and do what your heart prompts, for through it courses the wild blood of your people.
I shall fear nothing, Pa. Come here, son. Be good, and take care of yourself.
Oh, Doctor, it's a fine thing when laughter hurts a man.
Oh, we'll soon put that right. Well, we must be off. We've a long way to go.
Be careful, Yarpie. I will, Ma. Don't cry. Tot ziens, Pa.
I remember that evening well. I turned and walked off, up the face of the hill, the pink heath closing in about my knees as I climbed. On the crest, I looked back and waved to him. He looked a lonely little figure, standing there with Mosca beside him. Now he was really alone. I remember Mosca pushed his head into his hand. Yeah, Mosca, I've not told you about him. He was yellow all over, a pale golden chestnut, a lemon as it's called, with a thick, smooth coat and eyes like yellow, black-scented agates. Yeah. Mosco was in his prime, 4 years old, only 6 years younger than the boy standing beside him. As I moved out of sight over the hill, it seemed as if he knew his responsibility. As if he knew they were alone on the farm, the sole protectors of the homestead and the stock. Slowly he came nearer to the boy, his great shoulders rubbing against his thigh.
We're all alone now, Mosco. I'm not really afraid, but I feel a little uncertain. You're not afraid, are you, Mosco? I am. Just a little. It's so lonely here, all alone. Well, I'm not alone. I've got you. I was alone with Mother once when Father went looking for that lost heifer, but never quite as alone as this.
Fear nothing, Yarpie. Fear nothing. And do what your heart prompts you, for through it courses the blood of your people.
I shall fear nothing, Pa. I shall fear nothing, only for you. Oh, Ma, I can hear you now telling me how you met Pa. You've told me so many times.
Yeah, Yarpie. He used to come courting me on a strong wild horse he was breaking in. My heart used to flutter like a bird in my breast whenever I saw this great bearded man on a big wild horse. At first I did not want to marry him. He was so wild, like the horses he rode. And then when my brother, your uncle, died, the farm became mine.
And now it's all in my hands. All the stock, all that you and Pa have worked for. Now, till you come back, I'm master of all this. Oh, Moscow, I'm frightened. So frightened. Please, God, make me a good boy. And you won't let me fail Ma and Pa, will you? Oh, and you will make Pa well soon, won't you?
Yeah, that boy had plenty of courage. His work he knew, all of it. Feeding, milking, herding and weeding. There was no work he couldn't do, save the heaviest. And that wasn't because of lack of knowledge, but because of lack of strength. All of it he'd done many times before, but never with no one to talk about it. He told me the first thing he noticed was when he found that the black hen sitting in a barrel had hatched 10 chicks, and he'd put her in the barn and given her water and mealies and breadcrumbs. There was no one to whom he could say,
"The black hen has 10 chicks, and I put her in the barn and watered and fed them."
Mind you, he did tell Moscow, and he had wagged his yellow tail and smiled up at him with open jaws. But somehow it wasn't quite the same. The first day, he grew up a lot. The following evening, I went over to see him.
Hello, Yavi. Are you all right?
I'm all right, thank you, Uncle Herman.
That's good.
Will you come in and have some coffee?
Donkey, I will. My, but you're becoming a real young farmer now, eh? Hello, Moscow. How are you? Looking after your master?
Yeah, he is, Uncle. Yeah, the coffee's ready now. You do have sugar, don't you, Uncle?
Yeah, please.
Everything is done on the farm.
Uh-huh.
Today I've done a man's work. I'm a boy no longer now, Uncle.
Yeah, that's right, Yavi. You're growing up, man. I've had news from the door. A man passed, a man Pete Fourie, with a message from your pa.
My pa? Is he well?
Yeah, he's well. It's all over. They cut something in him, but it's not as serious as they thought.
When are they coming?
That is the message. They will be here on Tuesday, if God is willing.
I will pray that all goes well. I've prayed it every night and every morning since they went away. But now I will pray more strongly. Dear God, let nothing happen. Let them come back soon.
They'll be back soon, never you fear. Today is Saturday.
Yeah.
There is Sunday and Monday and then they'll be here.
Yeah. The day after tomorrow, I'll be able to say tomorrow.
He looked lonely as I rode away. But perhaps not quite so lonely. He had that thought in his mind. They'd be back soon. No news came the next day, but I called in to see how the boy was getting on. It was Sunday, but still a working day on the farm. When I arrived, he was reading the Gospel of St. John just at the place where his father had left off. Each Sunday, he read a chapter aloud, reading the Bible through from end to end. In it also were the names of his relations and the dates of their birthdays. His mother's, he noticed, was on Tuesday, September 12th. He couldn't leave the farm to buy her anything, but had instead picked some violets that were in bloom beneath the pomegranate trees. On the Monday morning, I rode over to see him again. He was standing, waiting for me, Moscow at his side.
Here's Uncle Herman, Moscow. He's coming fast, too. Is it more news, do you think? Yeah, news, good or bad. That's what Uncle said.
Good morning, Yavi.
Good morning, Uncle. Have you brought some news for me?
Yeah. Yeah, Yavi, but it's not good news.
His father...
No, it's nothing serious. He's very well. But the doctors think he'd better remain a little longer under their care.
When will he be home, Uncle?
Not until Thursday.
Thursday? Another 3 days. Oh, well, 3 days will pass quickly, but I'm sad. My mother, she won't be back for her birthday, and... her violets won't last.
You can always pick some more, Yavi.
Yeah. There were plenty of buds. I'll do that.
This time, as I rode away, I noticed that he didn't seem so lonely anymore. A little sad, perhaps, but not lonely. He was getting used to it, you see. I nearly suggested staying with him for the night. After all, he was only 10. But then I thought he would not like that. Now I wish I had. For that night, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, Moscow began to growl and then to bark.
Moscow? What is it, boy? Wait. Wait until I light the candle. There. Now, what is it? Is there someone outside? Well, here's the gun. Oh, it's heavy. Let me put on my slippers. There doesn't seem to be anything here. Let's leave it until morning, Moscow, don't you think? Come on now, let's go back to bed. We'll see if it was anything in the morning. Been anything, Moscow? You must have been dreaming. Let's have a look in the sheep kraal. Hey, what's that? One of the ewes is dead. Quick, Moscow. There's no mark, no blood. Perhaps she died of illness. But she was all right last night. Moscow, what is it, boy? What is it? What is it? So, a spoor, a big round cut spoor, nearly 3 inches across. Is it what I think it is, Moscow? Yeah, it's a roikot, a big one at that. Yeah, that's it. Look at these two teeth marks on her neck. Come, we'll go and get the gun, Moscow. Then we must make a plan, but I don't know what we should do. What would Pa do? He would go after him. Yeah, that's right. That's what we'll do, Moscow. We'll search him out and kill him before he kills any more of our sheep. Moscow! Moscow! Not so fast! You go too fast for me! That's right. Wait for me. Oh, so you've lost the scent. That comes of going too fast. He must be somewhere. You're on to him. In that heavy moot bush. You've trailed him. I'm coming. Look out, Moscow. He'll get away. After him, boy. After him. Ha! He seems to know I can shoot him down from a tree. All right, I'll catch up with you. You keep after him. He's making for that cave at the side of the hill. Oh, he's got him.
Yeah, they got him all right. But a lynx is a dangerous animal when it's cornered. Moscow stood at the entrance, barking furiously and looking back every now and again at Yavi as he was climbing. The cave gave onto a ledge, and as Yavi reached it, he could see the lynx glaring at him. Its great yellow eyes were narrowed slits, and its lips were drawn back over its bared fangs. Body was flat on the ground, its short tail raised, and its black tufted ears were laid back against its neck.
I'm not afraid, Father. I'm not afraid. Now, steady aim. Squeeze the trigger slowly. The gun won't go off, Moscow. He's got my arm, Moscow. My arm. Hold him, Moscow. Hold him while I get my knife.
As the lynx had jumped at Yavi, Moscow sprung at it. The lynx turned away from Yavi as he stabbed it in the side and swung back on the dog. As it turned, Yavi passed his hand over its back and drove the hunting knife in behind its shoulder blade. Dropping him completely, the lynx fell on its back and, reaching upwards, seized Moscow by the throat from below. The hound and the lynx became an indistinguishable blur of red fur and yellow skin. A spitting, snarling, growling, gory mess. Suddenly, Moscow shook himself free and stood over the mess. His ruff covered with thick, dark blood. It was dead now, and for a moment the hound stood over him, and then he staggered and fell. Half-skinned alive, the great muscles of his side exposed, one cheek torn out, he lay and turning his golden eyes to Yapi, he died. His eyes never closed. They simply lost expression and glazed slowly as death came to him. Yeah, the dog had died, but Yapi might live. The boy looked at his arm. It was badly torn and bleeding. He went slowly home, his arm in a rough sling torn from his shirt. At the house, he took a brandy bottle from the cupboard and drank half a cup. He'd never tasted brandy before, and it burnt him, but it made him feel better. Then, taking a horse, he went and collected the lynx and Moscow. He dragged the lynx on his return into the barn beside the sheep he had killed. But the grave for Moscow was another matter. It was hard to dig with one hand. When it finished it, it was not a proper grave. It was more a scraping in the black ground that ended when he had dragged Moscow into it as a mound beside the violet bed. That had been the only place to bury him. There he would be remembered and safe. Then the young boy went to bed. He did not undress. He just took off his felskoons and dropped onto his father's bed. Until tomorrow, everything must take care of itself. He had done what he could, and he could do no more. He was still there when his father returned the following morning, earlier than the doctors had said.
Yapi, wake up, my son.
Oh, Pa, you're back already? Uncle Herman said he thought...
Yeah, they let me out. I'm all right now.
What happened, Yapi? Nothing. The cat scratched me.
The cat?
Yeah. The Ruikot. We killed it. But all is well but one sheep. He killed the sheep, Pa.
And Moscow?
Moscow is dead. I buried him. Yeah, I buried him by the violets under the pomegranate tree.
A brave dog. A very brave dog.
A brave boy.
Yes, a simple but a wonderful story, I think. That boy, as he lay dying in the desert, in a shallow depression scooped out of the sand, wasn't frightened then. Of that I'm quite sure. What was it his father had said so many years before? Fear nothing, Yapi. Fear nothing, and do what your heart prompts you, for through it courses the wild blood of your people.
Join us again next week for another story of the African bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.